Today is the seventh Sunday after Easter. And what we see today is that short period of time, the octave of the Ascension, that short little period of time on the church calendar between the Ascension Day and Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, then 40 days, then the Ascension, and then on the 50th day is Pentecost. And so on this Ascension Sunday, we're celebrating that feast where Jesus physically ascends into heaven and takes his spot at the right hand of God. And what I've got on the board for you here, or on the wall, I should say, are the three scriptures we're going to look at today from Luke 24, verses 50 and 53, Mark chapter 16, verse 19, the one we just heard read in the gospel, and then Daniel, back to the Old Testament, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 and 13 and 14. And we're going to put a whole picture together here for you of this very important event in our Christian history in the life of Christ. And this is the Ascension. But I want you to stop and think for a second. It's baseball season. Yeah, it's baseball season. And so we contemplate those mighty acts that happen on the baseball diamond. And I know that most of you, as I do, sit and you have your laptop and your iPad and your TV and you're watching 3-4 games at once, as you know, we all do that. A very interesting thing happened in baseball over the last couple of years, and you all are aware of this even if you're not a baseball fan. They've instituted instant replay. They now have instant replay in baseball. And what they have done is created an office in New York City where the video feeds from all the ballparks go to this one place, and they are watching every game. And they even created a different position in umpiring. You know, when I umpired pro ball, it was 30 years ago, and these things didn't exist. But now they actually have umpires on a rotation. They'll work, 4 or 5 weeks out games in the field, and then they're assigned to New York for a week. And they're an actual major league umpire is the one looking at all of that video. And if a call gets challenged, they look at the video feeds and then they make a decision and they, you know, are in contact. They have the headphones. You might have seen that, you know. They talk to the umpires on the field and tell them what the call is. Very interesting thing. If you've been watching baseball at all, you've seen, you know, some of these challenges on some of these plays, and we see on TV what looks like it should be that call. And, oh, well, obviously that's going to get overturned, or obviously they're going to say that the umpire was right when this guy in New York City looks at it. Well, sometimes it gets overturned and sometimes it doesn't. Excuse me. There's an interesting reason for this. What we see on television, if you're watching the Brewers and you see the Wisconsin Sports Network and you're watching that, you will see maybe 3-4 different camera angles of that play because you're watching the Brewers channel. Now, as right now they're playing the Mets. So if you were watching in New York City and were looking at the Mets TV channel, you would see 3 or 4 shots of the same play, but they're not going to be the same 3 or 4 shots. Because the Brewers TV feed, they have their cameras, and the Mets, the New York Sports Channel, has its cameras. Okay? So they might be looking at the same play from a slightly different angle. And, you know, if you've ever taken a picture, you know that if you stand here, you get one shot. And if you stand over here and take a picture of the same thing, you're going to get it from a different angle. So here's the New York TV camera looking at that play. And then here's the Wisconsin TV camera looking at that play. And they're looking at the same thing and they're getting a different picture. There's a third camera. Every major league ballpark has its own closed circuit television system. So now add this camera to the same play, and you've got the same thing from three different perspectives. And guess what's being fed to New York City for that umpire in the replay booth? All of them. So he gets to see all of those TV feeds. And that's how they make the decision when a call is challenged on the field. And we might see it over and over and again listening to the Brewers announcers thinking, well, there's no way that that call can be overturned. There just isn't enough evidence for that call to be challenged and for it to be overturned. And yet, the call might be overturned. And it's because the one doing the judging sees it from every perspective. Does anybody know where we're going with this? That last sentence was critically important. The one doing the judging sees it from every perspective, and we see it from one. This is what we have when we look at these passages of Scripture, especially relating to the life of Christ. Got kind of two messages going here. God sees us from every perspective, and He's the one that does the judging. We might look at a person from one perspective, and God sees the whole thing. The other thing is we have to look at Holy Scripture the same way. We have the ascension from, in some ways, different perspectives, all looking at the same thing. That's why we have Matthew's gospel. That's why we have Mark. That's why we have Luke and John. They're all looking at Jesus and they're looking at our Lord from different places and all seeing the same thing. And that's why it's so important to know all of those perspectives, to see all those things. Well, today we're just going to look very briefly at these three things because they're really not different. And actually, Daniel is the fulfillment of prophecy. And what's neat about looking at the ascension this way, as we bring Daniel into it, is that we're not only going to see the ascension from the perspective of those apostles and disciples that stood there and watched Jesus go bodily up into heaven. But Daniel brings a wonderful addition to the picture. Well, let's start with Luke 24. And these are real brief. Luke 24. This is, of course, after Easter. This is after Jesus has appeared to them over and over again. Gives them the Great Commission that they're supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations. Luke 24, verse 50. Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. That's what Luke saw when he witnessed the ascension. We heard in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. Again, Jesus is teaching them after the resurrection, proving to them that he is physically, bodily resurrected from the dead, that he's alive. He gives them the Great Commission, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark says. And in verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. They watched him physically go up into heaven. But what I think is really cool is the Daniel passage. Now, this is really neat. Daniel, writing thousands of years before Mark and Luke, Daniel describes this. Chapter 7, verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Then to verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. This is an awesome picture. Imagine being on both sides of this, being one of the apostles and having had this experience with Jesus and then seeing him taken up bodily into heaven. But then Daniel tells us what it was like on the other side. As they waited, and the Ancient of Days, God the Father, is there and he's on his throne, and Daniel sees this vision, and there they are in heaven. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. So they're watching him go up into heaven, and then in heaven they're watching him arrive. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. All people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And so Daniel has a vision of Jesus himself arriving in heaven after his ascension and sitting at the right hand of God and taking his throne. That's powerful stuff. Imagine being the one witnessing that. That's why perspective is, you know, such an important thing. Not only did they see him go into heaven, but had those guys really remembered this, they would have realized, oh man, we know exactly what's going on. Daniel, what a cool guy. And they went back, and it says that they were in the temple praising God. I like that part, that they went back and they were in the temple praising God after the ascension. They didn't go and keep this. They went back to the temple. And can you imagine them telling him, you know, maybe this passage from Daniel would have been read at a particular temple service or something. And they're going, oh, hey guys, man, we saw it. We saw it. We saw him go. Incredible, incredible images from Scripture. And what's really exciting, I get excited about this sometimes, you might be able to tell that. What's really exciting is that you know, imagine yourself, put yourself in their sandals. Imagine yourself being there and watching this from one side or the other. Very, very powerful stuff. But we don't have to guess what it was like after Jesus ascended. Daniel gives us a beautiful picture of Jesus arriving in heaven and taking his place at the right hand of the Ancient of Days of God the Father. Really cool stuff. That's all I got. That's it. What do you think? Good enough? Something to think about today? Our God is so awesome. I mean, and just the fact that this is fulfillment of Scripture yet again. We've been talking about that for several months now. Pulling these things out that, you know, fulfillment of the prophecies of Scripture over and over and over again. God says he's going to do something and he does it. Do you know anybody else in your life who keeps their promises like that? Our God does that. Fantastic stuff. Come, Lord Jesus, send us your Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Lord, as we celebrate this ascension, yet one more promise that you made and fulfilled, we look forward to the day of Pentecost when the promised Holy Spirit will come and empower and fill our lives. Lord, help us to contemplate and understand these things, and maybe not to understand them, but simply to appreciate the magnitude, to sit in awe and wonder of all that you do and all that you are. Father, we thank you for this blessing today and ask that you send us forth with the joy of prophecy fulfilled, knowing that the Holy Spirit is being sent to empower our lives. All this we ask in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.